Welcome to the MSF Frontline Report podcast for November 2, 2010. Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization. I'm Michael Goldfarb. This week, one patient at a time, treating survivors of domestic and sexual abuse in an environment overwhelmed by violence. Papua New Guinea, or PNG, is a resource-rich land that won independence from its southern neighbor, Australia, in 1975. But in terms of development, it's lagged behind other countries in the region. In 2009, in fact, it was ranked 148th of 182 countries in the United Nations Human Development Index. The population, the great majority of which lives in rural areas, is made up of several hundred ethnic groups speaking different dialects. Poverty is widespread, and PNG has the highest incidence of HIV/AIDS in the Pacific region. It's also long been plagued by an extremely high rate of violent crime. 70% of women in PNG say they've been physically abused by their husbands, and in some parts of the country that number reaches 100%, according to the PNG Law Reform Commission. When this kind of violence is so widespread, what difference can a small MSF project make? Melissa Pracht brings us this story.
Rebecca Singer is MSF's project coordinator in Leh, PNG's second largest city. She manages the Family Support Center, a clinic for the treatment of victims of domestic and sexual violence. It's based inside the regional hospital there, but it's operated by MSF. The center provides medical exams and treatment. For rape survivors, that includes emergency contraception, prophylaxis or treatment for STIs, testing and post-exposure prophylaxis for HIV, as well as wound care and vaccinations. Counselors are there to give psychosocial or mental health support. There are some male victims who come for treatment, but the vast majority of patients are women. With 37 national staff and 5 international staff, this is one of only 2 clinics in a country of nearly 7 million people that provides this level of care. The other clinic is also run by MSF in the inland city of Taree. Singer talked to me about how she reconciles the scope and complexity of violence against women in PNG with the limited capacity of MSF's project.
Because the needs are so vast and unending, you can look at it 2 ways. You can look at it as the drop in the bucket, that ultimately it doesn't make a difference, or you can really just narrow your focus and say, this young woman in front of me who is brutally gang raped on her way home from school, we prevented her from having an unwanted pregnancy. We have prevented her from contracting HIV. We have treated her STIs, and we have given her support to help her and her family rebuild her life and keep her in school and keep her healthy. So I think we have to, in many ways, in terms of trying to keep going and to think positively, is really focus on the details and focus on patients sitting in front of us.
It's been challenging for MSF to establish mental health support in PNG because there's no official training there for counselors or psychologists. But as Singer explained, the nurses and educators they are training to take on these roles bring something else to the program.
This movement for the creation of these family support centers in all provincial level hospitals is a national objective. So we're engaging in an advocacy campaign to sort of raise awareness about what is possible, what can be done, what should be done from our point of view to meet these medical needs. And we were having a brainstorming session with the staff about what they see as very important to communicate. And one of our staff members said, we are all survivors. And it's true. I know that some of our staff members are also clients of our clinic. And I know that all of our staff members could be clients of our clinic. It's very real for them. And so they are both survivor and caretaker.
Frederick Sanchez is MSF's operational advisor for PNG. He says MSF can make a difference there, in part because of the government's willingness to participate.
Honestly, I have 15 years of experience, and I never saw such violence anywhere. You can tell me that there is violence in other countries. I will say yes, But why not starting in a place where the government is willing also to tackle the problem? They have no experience and request your support to do it also.
As early as next year, the government has said it will start opening centers in other parts of the country, replicating MSF's family support center model. While this is of great benefit to victims, no one is claiming that it will end violence in PNG. Its roots, says Sanchez, are deep, and it has various components, from women's place in society to alcohol abuse to the complicated coexistence of tribal law and the democratic government's law. A very recent factor may be the rapid rate of economic development in the country.
I think that it's always been a bit violent in the history of that country, basically because you are in a country where you have more than 800 different tribes, tribes with different languages. And they used to be fighting for land. So it could be a relation with the economic growth. Why? Because you need to share the resources, and that is depending on the land. Then the different tribes fight to get some part of the cake.
Overwhelmingly, women and children bear the brunt of this fighting. Households that do not experience violence are the exception rather than the rule. But, as Singer said, witnessing these dynamics up close only reinforces how bewildering and brutal they are.
My area of focus professionally since I've been a nurse has always been working with survivors of violence, sexual violence, or torture. So this was a great fit for me and a great opportunity, and I realized that I would need to be here at least a year to be effective in any way. I've been here 7 months now, and I'm just starting to feel like, okay, I get this. And then every single day something happens that makes me go, oh my God, where am I? What do I do now? What? I don't get this. A couple of months ago, I had a patient who requested to talk to me because she wanted to share her story, that she had basically reached her limits. She'd had enough. She had come to our clinic to be treated and had gotten such release and relief from coming that she wanted to participate in outreach and to spread the word about the work that we do. And this woman was amazing. She's a teacher. She was a very, very well-respected teacher in her school, a senior teacher, and she was very elegant and poised and very well-spoken. And she said, all day long, she taught students and she commanded respect in her classroom, and she had the respect of her co-teachers and of her students. And she went home, and the minute she walked in the door, she was seen as a piece of dirt by her husband. And the incident that actually brought her into our clinic was that she had gone to proctor an exam that day. The exam ended, and she met one of her brothers for lunch, and her husband had tried calling her a couple times and she didn't answer the phone. And so when she went home, her husband beat her because she didn't answer the phone. And he beat her so severely that she broke both of her forearms. And she was in casts from the tips of her fingers above her elbow in both of her arms. And so she also couldn't be in the classroom now, and she was forced to take off 5-6 months of work because her husband had beaten her, because she hadn't picked up the phone. She's a professional. She's well-educated. She makes her own money. She is this very poised, strong woman sitting in my office, and that she is so vulnerable. And she's just one story. You know, we have 200 patients come through our door every month. She is a woman with some options. She has a job, so she could potentially get away from her husband. Unfortunately, it's not so easy to get away.
High unemployment and an educational system that is lacking make it extremely difficult for women to leave abusive relationships and become independent. In some areas, husbands pay a bride price to the wife's family, which the women may have to pay in order to leave the marriage. But even if a woman can get the money to leave, the violence often does not stop there, as Singer and her team have seen all too often. But sometimes, family members will attend a counseling session along with the victim. In those cases, there's the possibility for counselors to do even more to prevent future violence in the family. Successes do occur, says Singer, in individual cases and sometimes in relative terms.
We do have some stories. We really cling to the positive ones. One of my colleagues, a doctor, went to get her haircut, and the person who was washing her hair very shyly said, "Do you remember me?" And she said, I don't. And she's, "I'm a patient from your clinic." And she said, "Oh, you hope you're okay." And she said, "You guys changed my life. Yeah, I met with you guys. I talked to a counselor, and she gave me some advice on how to deal with my situation and with my husband. And I just took a risk, and I got this job, and I have so much more confidence now. And my husband doesn't beat me anymore because I contribute to the house, and things are much better now." And it's just one small story, and it's perhaps just temporary, and you can be really cynical and say, well, he's not beating her this month, but he's probably going to start beating her again because these things are rarely an isolated incident. Or you can say, wow, we really helped that person. If we weren't here, she'd probably still be getting beaten by her husband. So I think we have to, in many ways, in terms of trying to keep going and to think positively, is really focus on the details. Focus on the patient sitting in front of us. We do exit interviews, and we find that people feel very positively about the services that they get here. We hear repeatedly, like, this is a safe place. This is the only place that I feel safe. I come here, I'm treated respectfully, it's clean, people are friendly and warm, and that is unique. I think that that's positive.
Since 2007, MSF has seen roughly 6,000 patients at the Family Support Center in Lae. It seems like a big number, but there are so many more women who are not getting the help they need. The project also supports women and children who want to take legal action against their attackers or seek protection from them. The MSF team itself has been threatened with violence because of the services it offers, and those threats are taken seriously. Staff are provided safe transport to and from bus stops so they don't have to move around the city alone. While 80% of the clinic's patients are victims of domestic violence, 20% are victims of sexual violence. MSF staff this year have seen roughly 45 new sexual violence victims every month. But Singer thinks these patients represent only a fraction of the needs. The team will study what prevents many victims of sexual violence from seeking medical and psychosocial support, so that they can reach more of the people who need assistance. Find out more by going to msf.org, where you can find the MSF website in your home country. Please send any comments and questions for the podcast to msfpodcast@msf.org. MSF is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization that delivers emergency assistance to people affected by wars, epidemics, and natural or man-made disasters in more than 60 countries.